Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, snubbed again for a BET award, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You know nothing.
We got the guys who wrote the new Spider-Man coming in here, and a couple of few interested in that. Looks good.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
We'll get into that for a second. Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. could be one of the better comedic actors of this generation, but not known
Absolutely.
For being a comedian. He's not Will Ferrell. But there's no doubt in my mind when he sets, and this is the definition of talent. You just tell him to go do this, mm-hmm. and he does it. Like when you see him in like Tropic Thunder,
right?
Funny as hell.
Yep.
I don't know many people that could pull that off, and he nails it.
He's also a really interesting career because he had kind of a comeback story. Remember, he was like on the tabloids and everything, jumping in bed with the kid or, you know, in the kid's bed doing his high or whatever. And like, he doesn't really talk about that a lot. It's kind of he prefers not to, but fascinating career resurgence. And he's like sinking his teeth in. He's like leaning. He's like, this is my shot. I'm my comeback and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart guy. Nice guy. Good guy. All right. So we'll get into that in a couple of few. I have much to talk about / complain about. I first shout out to Dawson and Loxie. Heard the music was fantastic out on the road.
It was excellent.
Thank you. Chris played an amazing set, and the Seattle people, so much fun.
Dawson's being modest. He played an excellent set as well.
I know. I just got the report from Lynette about an hour ago. I said Dawson's band was great. Loxie was great. I think we have now... I spoke to Garrigus quite a bit over the weekend. We did our Reasonable Doubt podcast. We got into the Bill Cosby thing. He is not a fan of... Actually, it's funny. I don't know anything about the law, but we're always seem to be on the same page because we don't like... I'll tell you what he said when it came to Cosby. You're not supposed to announce on the steps of the courthouse, we're retrying this.
Really?
Yeah. What you're supposed to do is go talk to everybody who was involved with the trial and figure out whether it's worth retrying it. See, if you interview all, and you know, he'll say that stuff's classified or it's under wraps or whatever it is, but what this person is supposed to do is they're supposed to do their due diligence. Like, they're supposed to go, did we get wiped out here, or was this very close, or what is this?
Is this a fix away from a victory?
Let me examine what went wrong here, and then ascertain, weigh the evidence, and see if this is a good idea and a good use of the taxpayers' money to redo this versus you just
make a declaration
and you just walk out the car and go, oh, we're doing it again. Like, hey, have as many mulligans as you want because it's not your goddamn money. It's the taxpayers' money. So you just go, hey, I get to do whatever I want. It's my court. It's my basketball. Oh, we just got creamed, but I'll just play another game. That'll be it. It's really 11 to 1 for acquittal is the rumor, so says Gary.
So says Mark.
Oh, so says Mark and Gary. So that's not the kind of case you'd probably want to just announce immediately. We're going back for round two.
With such confidence.
Yeah, it's sort of like, are you going to make Pirates of the Caribbean 2? Well, let's see how the weekend goes. Let's take a look at the box office. Let's see if this works out. You don't announce it on Thursday. You wait till Sunday and then see how it goes. But
is it also normal to announce on the steps that you're going to go into a motivational speaking tour career?
That's... I don't even know what that is, but I
Bill Cosby. We'll get to it.
I do. Yeah. First, I heard he was going on some sort of motivational whatever, but now he's going on a how not to be victimized by a female who says they've.
Yes, specifically for athletes and married men.
Oh, boy.
Boy.
It's a real specific audience you're going for.
Yeah. Doth protest too much, William.
Yeah. And by the way, like. You know how you do a bachelor party kind of lying where you'll tell your wife, like, I'm going to the bachelor party. Mm-hmm. And yes, we went to a strip club, but I never went to the champagne room and we didn't have any.
I was at the bar most of the time. You wouldn't even know that I was at a strip club.
That kind of thing. So it's what it is. It's we'll go from murder one to manslaughter. Right. Like, you're not going to say, I'm going to church. You're going to say, I was there, but I was hanging out at the bar the whole time.
Yeah.
Whatever. What, being a married dude and saying you're going to go catch Bill in a seminar. As you're leaving the house, your wife's got to go, where are you going? The whorehouse!
Strip club!
The Klan meeting! They're having a Klan meeting at the whorehouse. Yeah, now leave me alone.
A whore meeting at the Klan house.
That would be manslaughter to murder one. Could you imagine that? Just that exchange.
That would be that would invite follow-up questions.
Right. I think it would. All right. Yeah, I've been feeling a little sluggish. And you have been in charge of the porridge lately. So anyway, I'm not saying you did, but so Cosby doing that's weird. And Mark just basically hates the notion of unlimited pocketbooks. I mean, it's really... It's the government at their worst, which is we have unlimited funds and we don't really have a job to get back to. Our job will just be suing you. Yeah. So we'll just do it again. You can bring it all back, get the team back together, get your lawyers you paid, $2.7 million to and have them come on down. Get those big briefcases they use, the ones that only pilots use. It's got to be weird if you work at the luggage place, right? And they go, like, hey, I'd like that wide leather briefcase, the one where the flap goes through the handle.
Hold on. Are you a
pilot or a lawyer?
Like, let me see those wings.
I have a landscaping business. Let me interest you in a satchel, sir. Come over here.
A nice messenger.
We have a lovely nap satchel.
There's only two human beings that are allowed to use the squared off briefcase. About 9 inches wide, and it has the flap with the hole in it
that
goes through. It goes through the hole.
Yep.
Only pilots, only lawyers. As a matter of fact, if you could find a pilot to go in and buy you one of those, a lawyer to go in and buy
a little side hustle for
you'd
lawyer.
you'd look big time just walking around with that thing. Anybody you see walking around with one of those has arrived.
No questions.
No one
asked.
Ever. Yeah, it's never like, whoa, wait a minute, what college did you go to? No, no. You see that guy in that case, that's a winner.
There should be a regulation agency that like has field officers just go, hey, see what the pilot lawyer attaché right there.
Yeah, my uncle's a pilot, and he asked me to bring this to him.
your uncle's a pilot and he taught you how to be a pilot?
No, he just wanted me to bring him his case.
Okay, and you're your uncle's lawyer or?
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a pilot. This isn't mine. I'm bringing it to him.
Okay, by the power vested in me, I'm going to have to ask you to turn over the attaché.
I have a hardscaping business, but I wouldn't need one of these.
Okay, well, just you being out in public with it is not against the law.
Some of the stuff has my letterhead on it in there, but that's just because I was moving it with his pilot stuff.
Your uncle's facing some real reprimands from our organization.
Yeah, I've never seen other than the courtroom and heading on to the airplane.
Old-timey doctor? But even that was like a weird kind
of...
Nah,
that was weird. Yeah. That was different.
Cylindrical. Yeah.
That was sort of the ultimate and sort of first man purse. Yeah. In a weird way, that's as pursy as a dude ever got.
A leather.
All right. So, Garrigus said that he doesn't like the sort of government just sort of doubling down on everything in the unlimited pocketbook. We talked about the Philando Castile. Thing. He doesn't like that one. I agree. We had an interesting sort of breakdown on like why that was a bad shooting. You know, I mean, that was a bad one.
Just from what we've seen in the public.
But it's why you can't take ones that are much more marginal and lump them all together.
Sure.
You know, that was a bad shooting. That cop should have been convicted. And I was sort of thinking about it, and I realized, like, he has a case. So Garrigus has a case right now of a guy in Arizona who, Gary, stop me if I'm wrong, but he was basically with his wife or girlfriend having fun in a hotel room. Somebody called up and called the cops. The cops called him out of the room. He came out of the room. He got into the was in the hallway of the hotel, is we can all picture that sort of hotel hallway, and the cops yelled at him, lay down. And the guy lay down and like, put your hands out in front of you and lay down. And he just laid, I think he's wearing like shorts and a t-shirt.
Correct.
He just lay down on the hallway, face down. And then the cops executed him.
Oh, God.
There wasn't a tussle. It wasn't like he started to get up or reach for something. He didn't grab the cop's leg or anything. He was just laying on his face. And he was already in the position that they'd commanded him into, and they just pretty much executed him. Is that pretty accurate, Gary?
Yes, it is. They were asking him to move, so he was like basically army crawling, and then they just lit him up. And it turned out that the cop who fired had like, I have to check to be sure, but I think like adios, motherfucker, or something written on his assault rifle.
Ugh. Yeah, it's not a good case. They will not release the tape. Hmm. And as I say to everyone, have you heard of this case? Nope, you have not. Why? Well, it's a white guy. Mm-hmm. Not what the news is interested in. The news is not interested in cops killing people. The news is interested in cops killing black people. That's what they're interested in. And because we sit around and just consume the news, then we think cops just shoot black people, which is somewhere between sort of lazy dereliction of duty and going to get somebody killed news agencies, because you're not reporting a picture that includes Garrigus's client, or not his client, but the deceased mother, I think, or family members, his client, as just being executed. Also, the Castile one, my suspicion is the guy who shot him, his first name was Geronimo.
Yes.
It was like Geronimo Lopez or something.
I think it was Yenez or something.
Yenez. Not good for our narrative.
Right.
We have Whitey shooting Blackie, not Brown. And what they do all the time, they lump black and brown in together. They go, you know, you have Gavin Newsom over here where it's like black and Hispanic, black and brown, kids, you know, poverty, black and brown, black and brown. So when the brown shoots the black, what do we really have here?
It's not dramatic.
It's not following the narrative that's already set
up. Now, that was look, I'm not saying it didn't make the news. It made the news. That's why we all know about it. But did the outcome make the news? Are the people taking to the streets? Is there a Ferguson effect? Like, where's the outrage? The cop got acquitted. Where is the outrage? Well, we're not really. We don't really have an outrage because we're not interested in black guys dying. We're more interested in white guys killing black guys. And this guy with the very unfortunate, unuseful name, Geronimo, I think is a first name. That ain't our theme. It's not what we're building here. Yeah. Building Whitey killing Blackie.
Sorry, I misspoke in the Mesa case. The assault rifle said you're fucked.
Oh, okay.
It's way better.
Yeah.
More
so
tolerant.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Mark was with me, and he didn't like that shooting. That was a very bad shooting.
Sure.
And all I'm saying is, if you want to truly be colorblind, then you take each shooting and you base it on the severity of the shooting, mm-hmm. not the colors of the people that were involved in the shooting, but the negligence of the police departments, and then you punish accordingly.
Right.
That's what I, or you riot accordingly, or you whatever accordingly.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the world I'd like to live in. But, you know, well, don't listen to me. I'm just a racist. All right.
Next book title.
Do we have, so speaking of Mark Gargis, Dawson, you did his book, right?
Yeah, just finished it a couple of weeks ago. It's now available on Amazon and iTunes and Audible. It's called Mistrial, an inside look at the criminal how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. And he breaks down every chapter by prosecutors and defense attorneys. He does a chapter on jurors and judges and police officers. And in fact, when you were talking about the prosecutor is going to retry the case, the chapter on prosecutors is called "Being a Prosecutor Means Never Having to Say You're Sorry."
Yeah,
and it's really really enlightening, and I feel like if I had the time, I would definitely go to law school after reading this book. It's incredibly relatable the way he writes it. It's not. The criminal justice system is incredibly complicated, but the way they write it, it makes sense to everybody, and it's just fascinating to me.
Well, we'll hear a clip of it in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Caesar's Palace, man. I'm excited about getting back to Caesar's. We love that place. Our show is either sold out or going to sell out. We're doing a live podcast. That's July 13th. For tickets, you can go to AdamCarollaVegas.com. But come out to Caesar's, man. The rooms are renovated. The place is renovated. They have a 143-foot LED, HD LED screen, biggest on the strip in the sports book. The Who is playing there. Special room rates through August 31st. Our listeners get up to 25% off when you use the promo code Adam. I'll tell you, I went there, I brought the family, and the following day, I left, and they all announced we're staying. Screw you.
We live at Caesar's now.
Yeah, we're having too much fun. It was just that good. The restaurants were great. The service was great, but it's so nicely renovated, so wonderful, and great with the family. Anyway, Caesarspalace.com. Use the promo code Adam. Get up to 25% off, and we'll see you there. Thursday, July 13th, yes.
And I'd like to add that code Adam works at any Caesars property, which is a long list. So if you go ahead and Google, you can stay at places like The Link and other surrounding properties and still get your 25% off. So use that code and let them know you came from us.
Nice. All right, Dawson, what do we got?
All right, remember a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, when I got eliminated in that job interview because I don't trust the police?
Oh, yeah. No, that was a narcissism disorder. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is from the chapter on cops, and this pretty much nails down why I don't trust the police. The police are trained to be really nice and helpful, especially to naive suspects, while they are simultaneously busy screwing them over. As an example, let's take a fictional case where a man has been accused of robbing a bank. He denies it and is interviewed by a skeptical police officer who is already convinced of his guilt. Question 1. Police officer: where were you at 2:35 p.m. last Tuesday? Suspect: gosh, that's a while ago. I think I was either eating lunch at the diner or I was shopping at a jewelry store looking for a present for my wife. Officer writes in report: suspect cannot confirm whereabouts at time of robbery. Question 2. Police officer: have you ever been to the Bank of America on 3rd Street? Suspect: sure. I used to have an account there, but I shut it down about 6 months ago when they started charging $5 for use of debit cards. I couldn't afford that because I am living on a tight budget, and I thought it was unfair. Officer writes in report: suspect admits to having animosity toward the bank over past dealings and left the bank very upset. Furthermore, suspect reports being in desperate financial straits, appears to have strong motives for bank robbery and for targeting this particular branch. Question 3. Police officer: have you ever robbed a bank? Suspect: good Lord, no.
The closest I've ever come to robbing a bank was watching movies about bank robberies. I like some of those old heist movies. I wouldn't even know how to rob a bank, other than what I have seen in the movies. Officer writes in report, suspect apparently spent a substantial amount of time researching bank robberies and plotting the crime. Admits that his research has aided him in learning how to pull off robbery. Question 4. Police officer, sir, do you use drugs? Suspect, no, not at all. I smoked some pot in college and tried cocaine at a party once, but that's it. Nothing in the past 15 years. Officer writes in report, suspect has a history of drug usage. So what the prosecutor now has, and what the jury will hear, is that the suspect slash defendant has no alibi, has a strong motive, researched the crime, and is a drug abuser. The poor sap is headed for 3 to 5 years in state prison.
And get the rest. Mistrial. The link's at adamcarolla.com.
Nice, Dawson.
Thank
That's
you.
Infuriating.
It's a fun book.
I
my blood pressure's up.
Yeah.
We got a phone call about a funny that Brian made up on stage. I will just bring this chapter to a close with something I said to Gerges, which I've always said, and I think he follows me with this, which is we always do racist cops. It's incompetent cops and, you know, improperly trained. I don't think we do the racist thing as if you go out as a cop and you go, I now have this license to legally kill black people, you're going to have a bad career.
A short career, most likely.
It's going to be as bad on you as it may be on whoever gets shot, provided they live. But your career is going to die. Like, I just don't buy that
reason.
I don't buy that line of reasoning. I buy bad cop. I buy scared cop. Mm-hmm. I buy ill-prepared or trained cop, and I buy scared of 19-year-old black guy part, but I don't buy the racist part. And I said to him, it's like in the Philando thing, bad shooting, but I said, I don't think that cop is racist. I think he's a bad cop, and there's plenty of that. I mean, imagine you have thousands and thousands and thousands of some of the dumber guys you went to high school with now carrying a Glock and walking up on cars. And the time I said that, 1,000 of them walked up to 1,000 cars somewhere where it was dark. Mm-hmm. How, of course, if that was Ray's job, there'd be people getting shot all the time. He's not have a racist bone in his body. Yeah. That's what would happen. Now, I sort of use this analogy. I said, it's not totally apples to apples, but I kind of liked it. I said, look, if the guy who was the pilot on the plane that was chartered by the Grambling football team crashed and everyone died, it's all black school.
Okay.
Everyone died. It wouldn't make the pilot a racist. It'd make him a bad pilot. He killed all these black people because he's an incompetent pilot,
right,
not because he's a racist.
Right.
And I think that's the lion's share of it. I'm not saying there's not racist pilots, but what I'm saying is
I know where you're going.
We got a bunch of dead people. We got a bunch of dead, but they do have the suitcase.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a bunch of dead people. It's because this guy's incompetent.
Right.
All right. And by the way, if he survives, charge him. We've got a bunch of dead people. The pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be quite a trick. Pilot survives.
He bailed out.
Did all the black people die? Oh, thank God.
All right. Let's see. Yes. Brian, question for a comment for Brian.
I don't like this.
Dylan.
Oh, hey.
What's going on?
Man, how's it going?
Good. Man. Yes.
Gina, hello. How are you?
Good.
Well, Brian, or as I like to call you, Senior Salty Snowflake. How are you?
What's happening, Dylan? That's good. I'm going to retweet that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I was listening to the Dennis Prager show, and I'm a bit behind because I didn't have opportunity to listen to all the podcasts. But I noticed when Dennis asked Adam what his second most favorite inanimate object was, you made the zipper drop, and no one laughed at all. There was no reaction whatsoever. I just want to know, was that a planned joke on your hand? Or?
Oh, no. He and Dennis worked it out ahead of time.
Yeah, we're working out our two-man routine. We're
no.
both straight men.
Oh, you did?
We're both the straight men.
No, Brian is that fast. How could he possibly plan that out? There you go.
Thanks, Dylan. I appreciate that. Now, we never plan anything out for on the stage or anything like that. Especially pertains to
drops. No, I don't mean planned out. I'm saying, were you trying to make a joke and no one laughed? That's what I was asking.
Well, that's very
yes. That's kind of my
that's kind of my
brand, Dylan. Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going for. Thank you.
Well, I laughed hysterically, and I just want to give you props.
Thanks,
for that.
Man.
If you can reach just one person,
it's a huge waste of time. If I can reach, make one person laugh, is a massive waste of time.
To be fair, on some stages, and Irvine's one of them, it's hard to hear what the other person is saying.
Let alone drop it.
Brian is hard where he's sitting. I can hear Dennis or whoever the guest is right next to me, but I'll hear the audience laugh, and I don't know what the joke was because we don't have monitors up on stage.
And they took the monitors away. No monitors on stage. So you had to listen from what the sound you were getting from the house.
Well, and Dawson knows this.
Sorry
because
about that. I came in and told everyone before you got there that there are no monitors on stage.
And I usually ask him before live shows, like if we're on the road, will there be monitors? Because of this show, and sometimes there isn't when we're live, I have gotten used to lip reading because it's important. Because sometimes you just can't hear.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Real quick with Peter over there. I think our guests are here. Peter, 48, Minneapolis. Peter?
Ace Man, Brian, Gina, get it on.
Yeah, man.
So my question is very hard-hitting, controversial. I just want to understand why you refer to bowel movement as Duke. I've never heard anybody else call it Duke before.
I don't know. Was Dukey, I guess, when I was growing up?
Yeah, I feel like it's a sort of popular nomenclature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and do you laugh hilariously when Duke University plays basketball because there are a bunch of guys running around with it on their shirt?
They play for Duke.
No, it's like I don't laugh that hard when I hear Dickie or Dick from the Boston's come around.
Gotcha.
I've done the math on that one. But from this point on, I shall.
North Carolina fans, of course, Duke's rival, and other teams that hate Duke will, you know, spell Duke out as D-O-O-K to, you know.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, sort of make fun of the name.
Still, I can't believe no one has picked up on my Green Bay hating fudge packer foam head instead of the cheese head thing. I feel like that's
a layup.
Opportunity missed.
Yeah, squandered. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're from Minnesota, right?
You can sell 10,000 of those in Minnesota. Fair.
You don't like the Green Bay, right?
Division rival.
Correct. Yeah, I should go to the newly erected U.S. Bank Stadium with a fudge on my head. And
absolutely should.
Look,
Adam Carolla.
Look.
Have a little sticker at the same point of it, like at the fair. Like at the county fair, say Adam's fudge.
Yeah, get a
trademark.
Get some of that closed cell or tight whatever cell foam, the stuff they use for like sculpting stuff that they make molds around and stuff. I can tell you right now, 18 long by 12 wide will do nicely.
About four
inches thick. Yep. And I think, I don't know, I don't think you go triangle. That's cheese.
Okay.
I think we got to go fudge.
Okay.
We got to go fudge
rectangle
head. And it's going to take, not everyone's going to get the packer, the fudge packer part down. But I think it's going to work nicely.
Yeah.
Now, if you can simulate like a half a nut in there, that would be nice. I would then get the smaller business end of a melon baller.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to think. The fudge, I think we got to do the top. Okay. What we're going to do with the top, are you listening?
I've got it. I'm writing all this down.
Okay.
Like on my house.
Okay. All right. On the top, we're going to have to shape it.
Spackle.
It's going, no. We're going to do it this way.
Brian,
we're going to do it this way.
Because you want that, smooth.
No.
Or kind of that creme brulee.
No, I can tell everybody that a piece of this foam is going to be way too straight and way too true.
Right.
And when you see it, I've done stuff like this. It just looks too boink, boink, carved, cut.
Right.
It's too good. The fudge has some undulation on the top of it. And you're going to have to get, you have an orbital sander?
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir.
Do you? Who makes it?
Yeah.
Who makes it?
I've got a Ryobi.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Black and Decker? Even worse?
Here's what I would need you to do. Do you have a, what would really work is a right angle grinder with like a little cup cup sander on it, the sandpaper. And what you're going to do is you're going to work the top of it, and you're going to make it uneven. You're going to just kind of buzz it and work it and buzz it.
Just the imperfections.
And you're going to break the edges so they're not too sharp, and you're going to just work it like where it was cut along the side to get some dimples and some imperfections, and have it'll be a little wavy on top. Then we're going to get just some basic brown. We'll paint the thing basic brown, but on the top we'll work a little darker. Yeah, I feel like fudge is a little darker on the top than it is on the side, and the top will hit with a little clear gloss. It seems to be a little bit shiny.
See, you seem to have thought about this, and we would never doubt you. However, I don't think it'd be the worst idea to call in Christy as a consultant, since she makes fudge a lot.
That's right. Some big salt pieces.
It's going to confuse the joke, though. Nice picture of just Google image, just fudge, and do that. Later on, we're going to need to have you get a soup bowl or a large. How about this? A large cereal bowl. Okay. And I want you to find one that you can put on your head that actually fits on your head snugly, but fits. Then I need you to take that and place it on the bottom side in the middle. Okay. And I need you to trace around it with a Sharpie. And then I want you to take a soldering iron. And I want you to heat it up, and I want you to follow that circle with a soldering iron, and I want you to just basically keep working it with that melon baller and stuff until that bowl slides in and fits nicely into the contour, and that's what you shall put on your head.
You got your mission.
Perfect.
All right. Now,
How do we make it through that whole thing with no Buell Hauser drops? That's what I want to know.
Because this is amazing.
This actually is kind of interesting.
Yeah. All right. Will you wear that to the new stadium when Green Bay comes to town, and will you take a photograph of it?
Done, and tweet it out to the whole gang.
Not since the hero that I spotted in the crowd using the defense. But instead of a capital D and a picket fence holding it up, the cardboard in the crowd, the picture of D from What's Happening, or That's My Mama, I can't remember. It was Raj's sister.
It was What's Happening.
And a big picture of a 13-year-old black girl and then fence.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Corolla's excited.
You'll go down in stadium annals, even above the defense guy. All right?
I love it. Thank you, my friend.
Are you going to home games?
Oh, I'll go now. I've got a reason now. I'm a Bears fan, but I'll go root for the Pack or for the Vikings.
The new stadium's open.
Oh yeah, the Super Bowl here this season.
Oh, awesome! Oh. Yeah, Minnesota's awesome. Yeah, but the old stadium
was
old.
Back. Yeah, come back. Good show there.
Come back to the Varsity Theater or the Fitz sometime, and I'll take you out for some Kramarczyk's sausages.
Yeah,
I won't sit at the same table as you, but you know.
It's very respectfully, thank you.
Yeah, that's we went and ate Hungarian food, like me, Mike, August, and Mike Lynch, and some guy worked there just sat down with us, just a four top. There were three of us, and he was like 19. He's like, mind if I join you? And I was like, I had to go, like, kind of, yeah, we kind of do. Like, it's like, you want me to sit somewhere else? And it's like, yeah, kinda. And by the way, ironically, we weren't going to talk about you at the beginning of the conversation, but now you really have to move
because
first 14 minutes we've dedicated to your ass. But I kind of like the guy. Like, I don't mind it. I didn't mind it. I don't think it's anything you'd ever see in LA, right?
Is there a good way to handle that? Because we were on the cruise. I think it was day two. I just wanted a lunch and like sit down, like be quiet for like 10 minutes. And the nature of what it was, people coming up like, oh, you might have a sit down. And I had to say a couple times like, sorry, thank you for coming on the cruise and blah blah, but I just need like 10 minutes like to myself.
Ooh, I felt, Brian, I know, that's I felt, when you order in.
I felt terrible, but I just wanted
tough
to,
alone.
10 quiet
it's,
minutes.
It's tough alone. If you're with somebody, you can go. You can we're talking off, some yeah. business. We're talking about something here.
50 times easier if you have a significant other there.
I know, Gary. Can I have this dance?
Absolutely.
All right, honor. We'll bring our guests in 1 second. First, Alone Man, back for a fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, and sons. They got a married couple in there. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No kindly cameraman to give him granola bars. No, they're not there. They film themselves. No gimmicks, no forced challenges. Teams are split and equipped with 5 items each. In order to win, they got to find each other and survive. North Vancouver Island, the longest. $500,000 is at stake. That is a lot of dough. So tune in for all new episodes. That's Thursday, 10 o'clock, 9 central on History. It is Alone. It is a different kind of survival show. And again, all new episodes, Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central, only on History.
That is so cool.
All right, let's see. Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, who wrote the upcoming Spider-Man, and they were here, yeah. We're looking at what else they're promoting. They got a very... You know what's nice? It used to be that in order to write a movie of a genre, you must have written other movies exclusively almost of that genre. Now they've kind of figured out, and I actually talked to some of the Pixar guys about this because I'm going to be working with them on something, which is they just go, we think you can write a movie, not an animated movie, just a movie, and we'll just take it and use it in this format.
Your skills will probably transcend to the next genre. That is not too big of an ask.
I completely agree. All right, we'll bring Jonathan and John in right after this.
Time to get on board. Corolla Cruise 2.0, November 30th through December 4th with Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, Bald Brian, Dawson, Gary, Chris Loxamana and his band, Kaylin, and Ray Oldhofer. A Caribbean cruise with stops in Key West and Cozumel. Book your passage now at adamcarolla.com.
Drunk. A boat full of booze. Come aboard. On a podcast cruise, get drunk, smashed out of your gourd, come get sauced with Corolla and crew. The Drunk Boat soon will be making another trip. The Drunk Boat, alcoholics aboard a ship, with Bald Brian and Gina and even his buddy Ray. Get drunk with Gary and Chris, it's an experience that you cannot miss. Yes, drunk. ACS Cruise, get drunk.
Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly back again. Spider-Man Homecoming hits theaters everywhere. That is Friday, July 7th. This one looks... funny. Everything with Robert Downey Jr., like, he's got to be the greatest actor to have if you need like a 30-second clip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Jonathan. Somebody probably should have tilted your mic toward you.
Mm. Yeah.
That part of somebody's job.
Apologies
and
for the...
slide it
you can just,
toward you.
For yeah, the just, slide it, just slide it to you.
Bend it.
There
you
perfect.
Go. How's that?
That's perfect.
There you go.
I want to point out that my mic is properly tilted. Right.
Well, that's why you're the seasoned, wily veteran of the writing team.
That's right.
How did this thing come about? Because, I mean, like Horrible Bosses and Vacation and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs does not sound like a pedigree for Spider-Man.
Well, they're all superhero movies, weirdly enough, in their own right. No, not at all.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, we wrote a spec script that was a little different from all the other stuff that we had done, that was a little more dark and grounded, and our lovely manager, John Huddle, was the one that really pushed to get our foot in the door at Marvel and show them that script, and they read it and liked it enough to meet with us.
And to their credit, you know, you were sort of suggesting it before you went to commercial, like they're one of the places that will open the door to guys who are not the obvious first choice, you know, and that's kind of great because it really allows you to get a movie that's not what's expected and what hasn't been done 100 times before?
Well, I think there's a new paradigm, which is story, story, humor, story, heart, humor, story. And those things never existed in the old tradition. Like, it was like, well, that's, I think, not that I'm doing a good job articulating this. What I'm saying is this. People go to the movie for story and humor and story and heart and story, and that applies to everything. And there was a time when we went, well, that applies to Bend It Like Beckham, but it doesn't apply to Batman. It doesn't apply to Superman. It doesn't apply to any of that stuff. That's for 11-year-old guys who want to see stuff blow up, and that's sort of stunt-based, but that's not then. And somebody just realized, you know, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. We should just do Deadpool. We should do that with everything. Mm-hmm. Just everything needs humor, needs story, needs heart, and more story. And then the explosions and the CGI and all that stuff that's the easy part. We got that part.
And humor. I would add humor.
Oh, for sure, humor.
You know, you're seeing that a little bit in the DC versus Marvel approach to these movies. DC tends to go a lot grittier, a lot more grim with their movies, and Marvel embraces the humor of it. I think that's one of the things that helped us get the job, is because we were more known for the comedy side of it.
And it's a constantly evolving format too, because there are so many audiences, there's so many movies out there, and people get wise to the formula, and you have to constantly change it up to keep it interesting.
Speaking of the formula, my question is, how is writers, like at the beginning of the process, obviously you probably have some directive, I'm guessing, from Marvel, but how do you deal with, like, specifically Spider-Man fatigue? You know, this is the third time we're sort of starting over with this whole thing, and how do you, obviously the fans are in, but how do you deal with that?
Well, what we wanted to, I mean, and this is something that we were in line with the Marvel on, is to approach it like a John Hughes movie, where you really lay into the fact that he's a high school student, a kid that is not cool by any means, and he didn't choose to have these powers. That's what makes him so different from so many other superheroes.
Oh, he did all those Domino's pizza commercials. Is that that director?
Yeah.
I've seen that dude.
Uh-huh. The kid makes
up in short form, man.
Doesn't want to go to school. He wants a pizza instead.
Clears like the specials. Get some good music, that Hughes.
Really does.
He's a good director. He should branch out and do longer form stuff. Spend, but I like those commercials. Yeah, he's a smart kid. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
so humor is important to your scripts.
It absolutely is. Yeah, humor is important to pizza.
We're not a part of the marketing decisions. Thing,
No.
God bless him. It seems to work.
So the movie, I think I heard $175 million budget.
150, I think, which is actually not super high for these things. That's like right there in the sweet spot.
Yeah, I guess it's a new world order. I wonder what I remember when Titanic came out. It's like across the $100 million
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's just
routine,
daily occurrence. Yeah. So as far as the movie goes, are you meeting Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau? Are you there? Are you part of that? Do they need you on set?
Not,
do they
not
want you
one.
On
not
set?
Not on this one. You know, it's funny. It's a very different experience than some of the movies we were before. Like Horrible Bosses, we were on set almost every day working with the actors. Kevin Spacey would come up. He'd be like, can we do something with this line? And we'd pitch him a line.
Right.
On this, it was really more of like, thank you for your script, and now we're going to go make it. But that they do that across the board. Even the directors at Marvel, to some extent, they come in after the movie is partly cast. They have guys working pre-viz. It's a machine over there.
Would the average director want the writer on script, on set, I'm sorry, or both, or not?
Well, they had writers on set, but a different set of writers, ones that they had worked with on the sets of other movies as well. And so it's just kind of their the way they do things.
Right.
But we were also off directing another movie by the time they were shooting this, so we weren't available.
Go ahead, Gina.
Well, to that point, how do you feel about what you gave them and how it turned out in terms of recognizable? Is this familiar?
We're really happy with it. I mean, we saw a cut about, I don't know, 2 months ago or something. It was a fairly early cut of it. But it was very much what we wrote. I mean, we wouldn't be out here, you know, flacking for it if it was some other dude's movie. We feel like it's as much ours as anything.
But as writers, you only have so much ownership ultimately over a movie anyway, because there's so many other people that go into it. But yeah, I'm proud of it, and I'm really glad that our voice still, you know, shines through in it.
We chose the Vulture, for example.
Oh, really?
Could have been any villain, but
you went with the Vulture.
The Vulture.
Yeah, let's see. How about a bird of prey? How about more of a like a scavenger. Yeah. like after the eagle's done taking down the deer, like someone who'd like hang around. Remember that cartoon where that guy was really stupid and he had his mom had a thick Italian accent? Those were vultures.
Why in the script is your vulture saying no,
we revisited that weird cartoon from the 50s or the one. The vulture was the mama vulture was Italian. The son vulture, the baby chick vulture, was from like Tennessee.
Appalachian.
He was developmentally disabled.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he had it. He was disabled.
Uh-huh.
And she was going to push him off the cliff so he'd learn how to fly. Uh-huh. But I don't know how that idea ever came together.
It was Looney Tunes, wasn't it?
Yeah, Gary.
Oh, we got these two archetypes. What are we going to do with them?
Gary'll find it, but I don't know. I don't know how any of this stuff worked, but all we did was consume. Like I had the same relationship with cartoons as I did with cafeteria food.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What do we got? We got this weird sloppy Joe sort of noodle thing that we use an ice cream scooper. We just dump it on everyone's tray, and you go,
I'll take weird Italian vultures.
Are there any other choices? No, there are not. All right. Then I'll eat it.
Whatever was on after school.
It was
anything to keep you from doing homework.
Anything that actually moved. Mm-hmm. Although I have a discerning palate, and I knew the difference between Speed Racer and Kimba the White Lion.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like.
I don't know which one's good and which one's bad.
Yeah, Speed Racer involves cars.
Oh, right. Okay.
And involves subject. Yeah.
Pops Racer bonking people on the head with a big monkey wrench and stuff like that. And Kimba was like a little.
What about the Addams Family and Munsters? Like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. There are two black and white shows about monster families at the same time.
It was the time for it. Apparently,
it's like
the reason why Armageddon and Deep Impact came out in the same year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the two volcano movies.
Uh-huh.
Came out at the same time.
Dante's Peak.
And Volcano.
Volcano.
Yeah. The eponymous Volcano.
Really on the nose.
The Munsters and Addams Family was great because they had the running joke. They had the hot blonde Marilyn that they always made out to be ugly. Yeah. Mm. That was their running joke. And it was black and white back when it didn't need to be black and white. But I don't know that you get weirder than I Dream of Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bewitched.
And two witch type.
Yeah.
One crinkles her nose, one folds her arms.
They're both, they're both hot, and they would grant wishes. And even though the guy would get in trouble, like, you know, if I was living with this person and I called him up from a drunk cell and went, shit, I got popped for a DUI. I'd be like, definitely get your nose ready. We got to go back in time. Like, we're going to fix this. But everything was like, oh, God, the clients are going to be here, and I don't have the presentation.
Very low stakes. Right. Sweet. Yeah. Let's get rid of war and famine today.
But if I lived with that woman, I would like the opening of every act one would be her carrying me somewhere. Like I'd have her like a fireman.
She's not your slave. I guess Jeannie was sort of his slave, but there was one
called
where
her master.
Remember the one where she put him on a spit in the oven? She shrunk him and put
You can't cheat. You can't get busted. Like that is a serious situation. Yeah.
Repercussions.
No, we're not looking for Heckle and Jekyll, clip. Those are magpies. We're looking for vultures. Gary.
The mother. Are you looking for the one we played a few weeks ago with the mother?
The super offensive Italian woman?
Yeah. Oh, we'll let you hear it.
Why, killer, what are you waiting for? Get a move on. Get going. Scram.
No.
He's clearly has some sort of syndrome. Like that buzzard will never see his 19th birthday, right?
Get a little rabbit.
Is she Italian or Hungarian?
Ambiguous.
I thought it was Hungarian, and then I thought it was like Italian or something too. But turns out she's. By all reports, she seems to be Italian.
Yeah.
So anyway, the character's based on this vulture.
Yeah, exactly, to a T. That's the voice that Michael Keaton does the whole time.
Oh well, this the movie looks good. I'm excited to see it. And again, Keaton. God, I mean, how about when you get Favreau and Keaton and Downey? Like, don't you go?
That's
like,
a great cast. And this kid, this Tom Holland,
he's amazing.
I mean, he's the strongest Peter Parker.
Now, somebody was saying, someone was saying that this had an element of Iron Man, like in the suit, had had yeah. stuff going for it.
Well, it's a suit that Tony Stark designed for him. So it's not his homemade suit. It's one that has all these, you know,
bells and whistles.
Bells and right. whistles and gizmos and gadgets.
Right. Yeah. All right. Sorry. But he still possesses powers.
He has super strength. And
Spider-Man?
And he can climb.
No, he can climb up walls with his bare hand. That's not
sticky, sticky fingers.
And spider sense. Right. sense.
But yeah. the web shooting is part of the suit.
Part of the suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, to speaking of Tom Holland, I'm growing a little weary of the Marvel, the Avengers, but he was the best part of this last movie. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, who knew that Spider-Man would be the best part of this last movie?
Yeah,
and now he's got his own thing. And I feel like there's a little bit of a groundswell of like, all right, this is I'm interested in seeing this.
That is the genius of Marvel, is that they know what's going to be the outlier, what's going to stand out in a good way mm-hmm. in whatever movie came before it. And they use that as kind of a calling card.
Shit. Yeah.
It was the highlight of the movie, I thought.
Yeah, you have a question?
Well, yeah, I think they began to talk about what they're directing now.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear about it.
Well, we just finished a movie we shot in Atlanta. It's called Game Night. It's for New Line and Warner Brothers, and it's got Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Kyle Chandler, Jesse Plemons.
Sharon Horgan from Catastrophe, and Michael C. Hall.
Whole lot of people, yeah. And not necessarily comedy actors. It's kind of an action suspense comedy thing.
You wrote and direct?
Mm-hmm.
Rewrote, that's
and,
right.
And directed. It's, the story of it is essentially like a group of friends who have this weekly game night. And the brother, Kyle Chandler, of Jason Bateman comes to town and says, I'm going to host, and it's going to be a murder mystery party. So these actors are going to come in, kidnap someone, take them away, and then the others have to follow clues. And whoever gets the guy kidnapped, well, then they win the night. But it turns out that Kyle Chandler's involved in some criminal shit, and the guys who come in are actual bad guys. And it kind of goes down a rabbit hole.
So everyone thinks they're playing a game for the first half of the movie.
When might that come out?
It's slated for
sometime next year.
Early next year.
It was at one point slated for Valentine's Day, but that is subject to change, so we don't know yet.
So you're talking about Spidey sense. I had a weird thing happen to me this morning in terms of Spidey sense. I'll tell you that, Gary. You get the it follows that ring commercial. I want you to pull too. But first, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Man, you don't need Spidey sense for Tommy John. It's getting hot out there. By the way. It is hot out there. It can't get any hotter. Yeah, getting a little swampy conditions down in the nether regions. Let's not do that. Old school cotton, they can't handle the heat, man. The extra sweat this time. You got to go with Tommy John. Put the kibosh on the swamp butt for good. But Tommy John, moisture wicking fabrics pull perspiration right off your body. It dries 4 to 5 times faster than the old-time cotton underpants. Patented fabric technology, impossible to get a wedgie. It is wedgie-less. You cannot do it. Even my buddy Ray, even when he was 15, couldn't give you a wedgie. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. Tommy John, no adjustment necessary. It is Tommy John. It is the best. Tommy John, Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam to save 20% on your first order. That's code Adam at TommyJohn.com for 20% off. TommyJohn.com.
I had this thing, I'll tie it into this Ring doorbell commercial I saw too, which is funny. But I was standing around my house this morning alone. Everyone's out of town. Everyone's on the road. Everyone's somewhere. And I was just standing there, and it was Sunday, about 10:15 in the morning. And I was staring at my front door, and I thought, you know, I got to get one of those peepholes in that front door, because the way it's situated, if somebody knocks on the door, I can't do the move where I walk around and look through the side bedroom window and see who's at that front door. I don't always feel like answering it. I'd like to know who's on the front door. And as I was standing in my hall looking at it, I was like, I thought, it's not mind-numbing, but if you were standing there going, I got to get, by Sunday morning's not a big knocking time, but I just stood there thinking, I got to get a peephole, and it took less than 7 seconds. I mean, I was still standing there. It's not like I walked into the other room and heard it knocking. I stood by the front door and looked at it and went, I got to get a peephole, and I heard bang, bang, bang. Wow. And I had no peephole.
Was it someone asking if you'd heard the good news?
I never found out.
Oh.
Because I didn't have a peephole.
Right. It was a peephole salesman.
I took it as
look at the missed opportunity.
Sir, I know there's no way that you can identify me. And the reason I know that. Yes. Later on, I waited about 15 minutes and I popped open and looked around, and I saw a couple of dudes at another neighbor's, like, walking up, selling siding or something. A lot of tree guys. A lot of tree guys come to you, man. They come to you. They don't have a store.
Or a website.
Yeah, bring your tree out. We'll fix it for you. Yeah, they just bang on the door. I don't know what it was, but it was weird that I was just staring at the door thinking I need a peephole, and someone literally was knocking. Not 3 minutes, but 3 seconds after I was staring. And then just before that, I saw this commercial for Ring. Now, I have a pet peeve, and my pet peeve is every single commercial that involves a thief is a semi-attractive white person, and I'm tired of it. I'm standing up. I'm going to do – you guys can take back the night with me. We're going to put candles through paper plates. We're going to take a march, which is – I don't mind if the lion's share of them are white, but it's at this point – the ADT commercials are exclusively white dudes doing things to folks. And I say, let's give it a little balance. That's all I'm asking for. A little diversity.
Representation.
What are we looking for on college campuses? Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of white guys
who
haven't shaved for 3 days?
Please.
Well, they not only have done this, but they've taken it to a new level by the victim and what the victim was up to. You can look at this commercial over there. It's a Ring. Is we talked about the porch pirates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People are ripping off all the Amazon stuff. Well, a couple of thieves pull up to a house to rip off the porch. You can run the commercial, Gary. It's a truck. Chick comes running out. White chick. Too attractive. Uh-oh. They got the Ring.
One of those video doorbell things.
The video.
What?
It's called a Ring.
What?
Now, where's the black guy? All right, now, hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
Black guy is now camping? Whoa! This has gone too far.
Yeah.
I was all right with the black guy who was hanging out, who may have been at work, or we were working security at LAX, or something of that nature. But camping? That's our thing, number one. Number two, has anyone ever been camping and seen one black guy camping alone? It's never happened in the history of campgrounds.
No,
I know guys who work at Yellowstone. I've talked to them extensively about this. Never has it happened. It's one guy, it's one black guy.
That's an elaborate setup for one man.
It is quite the setup.
Who went camping alone. You can run the commercial out. Sorry, Gary.
The doorbell means I can see you and this guy.
What's up there, slick? Smile for the floodlight.
Knuckleheads.
The Ring video doorbell and floodlight cam. See, speak, or sound an alarm right from your phone. Learn more at ring.com.
Now, again, having the exclusive white criminals, all right, I get it.
I understand. I understand the culture.
Having the black folk be victims, okay, right. I could see that happening. But having the black guy camping, I'm disgusted. That is our realm. That's what we do. And sort of generically and weirdly camping, like, is he lives in a big single-family home with, like, a three-car garage. Where's his kids? Yeah. Where's his wife? Yeah. Who's he camping with?
What were all the packages?
Yeah, what's going on? Why is he? Yeah, ooh, yeah, that's right. What's he need? Were they lures? Well, were they bobs? Like, were they fishing-related stuff?
He's been camping for a while. He's been out there. Maybe.
Yeah, what is he doing? Yeah, maybe it's mosquito repellent. Interesting. Yeah, it gets deeper. It's an onion. Mm-hmm. You just keep peeling this thing. All right, so we let it. All right, look, we stood back when they said all criminals must be white. I said, fine, I can do that. Then they said a lot of the victims are going to be black. I said,
I don't like it, but okay.
Now you've taken over camping.
Couldn't leave well enough alone.
Yeah. What other activities maybe they see? Like,
square dancing.
Black woman. Oh, she's on a potter's wheel. Yeah, or base jumping. Come on. That's our stuff.
Come on.
Square dancing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very true.
It's happening.
Thankfully, someone has shown a light on this.
Yes. Yes.
Travesty.
Expect to get a letter of apology from the Ring people.
Jonathan, not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah. Okay. Do we?
Spider-Man
doesn't wear capes.
That's true. That's
yeah. Could you guys do sort of racist man? Like in your
sort
next.
Sort of racist man?
Yeah, where it's like we go, is he racist? He's set in his ways.
Yeah.
That'd be like a lot of that.
And a superhero is wondering or knowing when someone's going to be at the front door right before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But not one answer.
Now, do we think, was this guy camping alone? He looked like he was alone. Like, I didn't see We needed to set decorate a little better. Like, we needed a little folding chair, like a pink one and a blue one, like his kids could have had.
With the two shoes left, you know, for
one very small coffee pot.
Yeah.
He seemed to be the profile of this guy. By the way, did he need to be that physically imposing? Like, I mean, this guy was a 280-pound linebacker. He's he's camping.
There's one of everything, including a seat he's not sitting in.
Yeah.
Right.
One fishing lure.
He's camping.
A very smoky fire. Mm.
He's camping alone, but he's living in a residential house that looks to be like 4,000 square foot. Like it says, this is not a bachelor pad.
Could he be in his own backyard?
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly
Maybe
what I was going to ask.
He's in his backyard.
Look at that clearing. That is a very mowed lawn he's camping on.
Yeah, but you're sending a weird message. You're sending a bad range message, which is you'll have to be on your property when the thieves show up.
Stop crimes as they happen.
Just peek around the side of the garage.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting. Anyway.
Very.
It's why it takes me 2 hours to watch a half-hour TV show, because while everyone else is fast-forwarding through the commercials, I'm stopping and breaking down the game film. I got a dry erase board out. I'm going through all the – I'm going like Chuck is, like Chucky. What's his name? Gruden. I'm going through it like
Gruden. He's a Gruden grinder.
Bring down the game film like Gruden. All right. Should we do a little news?
Let's do it.
You guys hang out crack-wise?
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
They're getting the white chicks into the crime game, though,
yeah,
Gina. You feel like the glass ceiling may have been broken
for
criminals.
I feel very represented. And they put a little orange concealer on her eyes so she hasn't slept in a while. What's that about?
But they're still attractive.
Yeah,
the criminals are always attractive. They tell them, like, don't shoot the guy, not to shave for a couple days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She had less rouge on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did mention this at the top of the show, but I think it bears repeating. According to his spokespeople, Bill Cosby is about to embark on a motivational speaking tour to tell athletes and married men how they can avoid sex crime allegations. On Good Day Alabama,
I got the number one way.
Leave the roofies at home. His spokesman, Andrew Wyatt, said that, quote, the issue can affect any young person, especially young athletes of today, and they need to know what they're facing when they're hanging out and partying, when they're doing certain things that they shouldn't be doing, and it also affects married men. Cosby has been charged with, of course, drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand. The trial ended last weekend when the jury couldn't come to a unanimous decision. Prosecutors have vowed to retry him, and in the meantime, he'll hit the road.
I wonder who's – are you going to those things seeking information, or are you just – it's got like a morbid curiosity, like a pure looky-loo, or is it like, hey, I can see Bill Cosby for free, and that's as much math as I'm doing? Like how well are those going to be attended, and then who's going to be out protesting?
Right.
Because that's going to be big time, right?
What's the forum? Like, how big of a room is he?
Right, is it the Radisson?
I think they're going to have to see what the pre-sales are, but there's no sales.
Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Milo Yiannopoulos is going to open for him.
Right.
So he's a lightning rod, that kid. It'd be fun. He's got to get somebody out to open for him that way.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
And is he going to try and inject a little humor, or is he just going to sit on a stool and be sad like he's been the last few years?
Oh, he'll definitely make it funny.
You think?
He'll try.
Yeah. All right.
So, okay, now if you're Camille, what are your thoughts?
At this point,
she seems on board with whatever his story is.
All right, if you're Felicia Rashad,
now that's
at this juncture,
the most intimidating person I've ever met,
Felicia Rashad,
yes, hands down.
Who's prouder, her or Jada Pinkett Smith?
Ooh,
who's prouder? Because I don't feel like I have an ounce of pride in me. Like I have
a lot
of douchey characteristics and all that, but I don't have pride. Like I have zero pride, but I feel Felicia Rashad or Jada. If we had a pride Cuisinart, we'd just juice them and see how
extracted.
Big a graduated cylinder we could fill. Who would be prouder?
Damn.
Probably Felicia, right?
But do you remember the Oscar So White video, Brian?
I'm not saying it's close.
That is, I'm backed against a wall. I wouldn't, that's good. That's like your Oprah and Stedman and Hillary and Bill
Yeah.
That's just as good.
Who's had less sex in the last 10 years? I asked that on like Fox and Friends or something, and the five chicks I was with were like, oh my God. And I was like, right? What? And they're like, no, we're not going to answer. And I was like, why wouldn't you? I think it's a pretty legitimate question. Who's had sex less, Oprah or Bill? And
it's
they're like, we're not answer. Like, I never, I forgot the environment I was in. Like, the, you know, the stuffy, hot Fox chicks.
You underestimated the crowd.
Easier to quantify that than pride, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. There's a number. There's a physical number to that. I don't know. Ascertaining that number might be difficult, but there is a number. But the pride, yeah.
Wow.
That's all right, good. It's going to be great. We can look forward to this in the news, right? When he goes and hits the, and then the people are out front.
There will be incidents.
And then it's going to draw. There's got, you know, there's always then, see, this works. This is perfect because it's not only is it going to get the nut jobs that are out protesting, but then there's always some fringe nut jobs like Jews for Jesus or something. Like their van's got to swing by and then they got to get into it with the other group. It's going to be good.
Well, and if they're focusing on athletes, I can't imagine anyone from the NFL inviting him to come speak. You know, I don't think they want to be associated.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It's not going to be a crowd of athletes.
No, not at all.
If he could just help one man be spared the horrors he's been through.
Just one, it's
worth it.
Don't you think? Yeah. Yes. Or maybe they'll do a Ring video thing for your dick. Where you just strap that baby on, record everything. You know where everything's going. You know, everything's been...
Yeah, it's all done.
Hello, everything's
been,
I see you.
Everything's been captured.
Yep.
All the allegations are out the window. But look at the film.
Yeah, it's good idea. Well, Mariah Carey's alleged diva behavior got her fired from Will Ferrell's new comedy called The House. Will Ferrell used oblique terms when describing the disaster to Seth Meyers the other night. Now, I'll show you that clip, then I'll tell you what co-star Cedric Yarbrough said really happened. Here's the clip of Will and Seth.
So, no, she was on our set, and things happened.
I think that, that I just want to leave to the mind's eye.
Things happened and didn't happen.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way. At about midnight, I got a knock on my trailer and said, you can just go home. We're not going to get to you. But are we still filming? We're still filming.
And all for naught.
And all for naught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Hollywood. It's a dirty business.
If DVDs existed, it would be some fun DVD extras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to find a new medium for DVD extras because I would like to see that. Yeah.
So then Cedric.
Yeah, I'm going tonight to the premiere of that.
Looks funny. Amy
Poehler. Be interested about it. I think we'll have the writer in as well. You guys probably know something about
Andrew
that.
Andrew Cohen, director.
So you guys riddle me this. So I don't have any pride at all. The other thing I don't have is
Felicia.
The whole pain in the butt part feels like such a calorie burner and so anti you. Like, first off, you convincing everyone around you to hate your guts feels whatever we're doing feels like a bad plan. Like, just there's a group of people that are here at this particular time, and I will not leave until all of them fucking want me to die. Like, that's a weird impulse. You know what I mean? Because I think everyone's impulse is, I'm going to show up with this group of people, and these group of people seem to know each other, and they work with each other, and so on and so forth. And what I'd like them to say about me is glowing positive things when I leave. But what I don't want is for all of them to fucking hate my guts, which they seem to do. And then it's how many calories can I burn getting them to hate my guts? And then to what end? But on the other hand, if you're trying to hang on to this mantle of diva, you have to do this, right? It couldn't be like, she's really chillax, easy, works anyway, it's coming, whatever. We changed some stuff. She said, no problem. Like,
this is on brand.
Right. It's on brand. So is it that it's like, you ever go out to dinner with the people who order and they just got to fucking invent their own salad dressing and they have to, this part like where they go, what kind of, sorry, it's always a chick though. What kind of dressing, this is like Drew's wife, what kind of dressing do you have? Like Roper, Thousand Island, Italian, balsamic and zesty Italian. No creamy ranch? It's like, yeah, I have a barrel of it in my car, but I play it close to the vest. Like, no, I've named the five that we have.
Could you do lemon and garlic and Parmesan cheese?
Yeah, like, what if, do you have a Bunsen burner back there and a chemist? Can we invent some of our own? Is one of the guys from Hidden Valley, there's one of the representatives there, like, no, we gave you five. And by the way, you're going to eat again. I want to say to people, like, this will not be your last lunch. You will go out, as a matter of fact, later on today.
Do it again.
5 hours from now, you shall be eating again. But they have to. And is it all like just it has to be narcissism. But what is the thought process? And do they really need all of this shit?
I think it's a reflex. It's you've been doing it for so long and the world has accommodated you that you think I'm the most important person in any room I enter.
That was my thought.
Yeah.
Was it if you are a diva, the level of Mariah Carey, like A-plus diva, you don't even know you're diva-ing anymore.
Right. Right. Because
consciously.
Yeah. And to say that same end, it's like all of this stuff that we think is egregious and grossly just insane, she's getting herself back to zero. Like, couldn't they just at least do this for me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I gave you a hypothetical with Jada Pinkett, Felicia Rashad. Mm-hmm. Bigger diva. Mariah Carey? Mike Rowe.
Hold on. Answer your question.
A little bit.
Mariah does insist on putting her gloved hand up a cow's ass a lot.
All right.
Helping them with
all
that.
All right.
So this is what Cedric said really happened. Said Carey arrived 4 hours late. In the meantime, they shot.
Cedric is
Yarbrough. He's in the movie. Yeah.
Sorry.
In the meantime, they shot a stunt with Mariah's body double. Cedric revealed, "Quote: When Mariah finally showed, she refused to match the stunt. She then requested a large fan for her hair to be blown around, plus a camera that would be above her, basically a crane shot. This lady was unprofessional and borderline abusive to our director."
That, by the way, the biggest power move in the world is showing up way late. And then once you show up not doing anything for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. like showing up 4 hours late and in the trailer for 2 hours, like that is a power move.
It's Axl Rose right there.
And
what I didn't see the movie, but do you remember that movie Georgia Rule with Jane Fonda and Lindsay Lohan? Right. Isn't that the one where the director wrote an open letter to Lindsay Lohan,
like
to get her shit together? Mm-hmm. Like it happens.
Yeah.
Paul Schrader, was it?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that letter was amazing.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a 3-year-old, 125-pound Neapolitan Mastiff took home the trophy.
What if you could always fall back on having sex with oligarchs for millions of dollars?
That'd be nice.
Like,
it would definitely affect your decision-making.
If the world, like, whatever happened, you get thrown off a set, your stepmom kicks you out of the garage, like, whatever it is,
recording
but you
contract
go,
right
I can
back.
Go fuck this Russian guy and I'll get $3 million. Like, that is your get out of free. She has that glass that you break in case of emergency in front of her pussy, and you just smack it with that mini hammer with the chain on it. I don't know if she wears it, but you could always do that, and you can do it from, you know, theoretically 18 to about 34, and then
it dies down
a little bit. But I feel like that affects some decision making with some folks.
You're right. Sometimes with like a Greek tycoon, sometimes with a Russian oligarch.
I'll just go chillax with Ivan over there, and that'll be that. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't like my attitude.
Your fallback plan.
Yeah,
that's good. So a 3-year-old, 125-pound Neapolitan Mastiff took home the trophy at the 29th annual World's Ugliest Dog Contest, which is held at...
Look at that face.
It's actually a little girl, which is held in Sonoma, a Marin County Fair. Petaluma, California. Her name is Martha. She's described as big, ugly, lazy, and gassy, with red eyes and
she's
lots of extra skin.
She's a two-bagger, one for the Duke, the other for the head. Thank you. See, I worked my Duke back into it.
She beat out 13 other dogs, all smaller and older than her, for a $1,500 cash prize, a trophy, and a trip to New York with her handler, Shirley Zindler. Martha was rescued when she was nearly blind, and after several surgeries, she can see again, those little red eyes. Past winners include a 10-year-old pit bull Dutch Shepherd mix with a spinal condition, and I have a picture of this, several Chinese Cresteds.
Yeah, usually the dogs who win this competition are really ugly dogs.
Yeah.
That's a those sweet dog. Crested.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah, no, that Mastiff is just a lot of face.
That's a great looking dog.
I like that they all have medical conditions, too.
A lot of them do. Yeah.
You
a lot
win
of them
if, you,
doesn't
if
seem
you're
fair.
Spina
yeah,
bifida,
right?
And, you know.
One was victim of friendly fire in Iraq.
That's
was
right.
Have to find a wheelchair.
Dove on a grenade to protect the rest of the pack.
There's nothing better than jowl, man. I have a 110-pound dog named Phil, and he's got a ton of he's a lab, and he's got a ton of jowl on him. And the best angle in the world for jowl, when it's hotter and shit outside, is I last night was just floating in the swimming pool, and then he comes over, walks over the edge, and he looks down at you. And when you look up, his jowls not only they leave his jaw and go around his eyes. So when the jowl starts spilling into the orbital sockets and just going all the way down, oh, it was awesome. Gary, I tweeted a picture of him, I think, from yesterday. He likes, like, when it gets hot, he'll walk, but when he's done walking, he'll find a piece of grass in a shade that's, like, moist, and he just does a full splay on it, and then there's no moving him along. You just have to wait till his core gets down to whatever it gets to, and then you can move on. But that was not an unattractive dog. No. That's a good-looking dog.
No problem with that dog.
Yeah, those mastiffs are like horses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we waiting or we'll move on?
Okay. You find it. Right. I didn't tweet it.
No. Not seeing it.
Oh, there's another one of him laying down that I tweeted. I don't know how the technology works, evidently. Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me this.
What's up?
Okay, I have no idea how tweeting works other than I just reply to people, and sometimes I do send all. But took a picture of Phil yesterday, I don't know, 3 in the afternoon, and I thought I tweeted, but who knows? I mean, got phone reception. But tell me this. I don't know how, when I turn on my tweets, sometimes Jimmy Kimmel's there, and sometimes Donald Trump's there, and then sometimes Felicia Rashad's there. Like, I don't know who decides who's at the top of my whatever, why there's stuff on there. It doesn't have my name on it. It's just them sending something, and it's somehow decided that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I follow him or don't follow him, but here was a weird one. So I was sitting around Friday night. Kids were asleep. Wife's out of town. Had a cocktail or two. And I saw on TV a guy by the name of Bob Wellman or something. And for some reason, my brain went to Philip Welford. It was my juggler friend who passed away very tragically a couple years back. And I just sat there and I went, Philip Welford, Philip the juggler. And I did that move that I think we all do now, which you get up and you walk to the computer and you go, how old was Philip when he died? Or let me this or that. And, oh, God, yeah, he was 56. Yeah, it was, what is that, 3 years ago or whatever it is. And then I just checked on Google. And then I went, watched TV, went to bed. And the next morning, I opened the computer and the first tweet up there, not to me, just there was somehow my queue or whatever, was Susan Welford, his wife, his widowed wife.
Hmm.
I've never had a tweet with her. I've never seen a tweet with her. Was there any connection? Gary, what's the connection between me Googling him and her having that up there?
If you're logged into your Twitter account, which you are, they can – Twitter – what you're talking about, I believe, is called a What's Happening feature on Twitter, where they kind of will take a bunch of tweets that they think are relevant to you from the past 8 hours and kind of put them at the top of your feed. And because you Googled it and you were also logged into your Twitter account, they knew that name was something you were interested in recently.
Am I always logged into my Twitter account?
Usually, unless we log you out. But for you, it's
so
a lot easier.
I Googled in Philip Welford and I got a –
like
Susan Welford.
All my ads right now, like when I scroll through Facebook, are for fart fans because you've had me looking for them for you.
Yeah. Sweet.
I got this picture of Phil. I'll put it up in just a sec.
I got one. Ventilation fans.
Fart enthusiasts.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
All right. I'll show you a picture of Philly cheese dog in a second. First, True Car, man. Shopping for that car. You want to make sure you're getting real price on actual inventory. People configure cars online. They find out they're not available. Not with True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So, if you're going to buy new, or you're going to buy used like Max Pata did, or barely used like Max Pata did. I think had a Prius with 400 miles, 300 miles, 200 miles. Anyway, you're ready to buy. You go to True Car. You see what other people are paying for the exact same car, apples to apples, in your neighborhood, in your time zone. And then you go lock in your price and pick up your car. You have a more confident buying experience with True Car. All right. there's my phone, which is always out of socket, and my dog, always out of focus, sorry, with my dog that just splays out. And it's always funny, like, it doesn't matter if the neighbor's around watering something or whatever, once he finds cold grass, he gets as much of his body surface on it as humanly possible, and then he just lays there and doesn't move until he gets his core down. Animals are very good at cooling tune, that core.
Finding that.
Yeah. I feel like we're stupid about it, but and then into the pool.
And don't let this picture fool you. This dog is the size of a bison.
Really? He looks like a little puppy.
Nope. He's giant.
he's giant.
You were 30 feet away in the.
I got up on an A-frame ladder to picture him. It's a little tough, but when the right shot comes around, you'll be glad.
That's a little more accurate.
Okay.
He looks like a sea cow.
That makes more sense. Wow.
Picture.
He just floats around. Just floats around the swimming pool. I love it. His cool move is he likes to walk the plank between the jacuzzi and the swimming pool. Mm-hmm. So he likes to take a walk there. Then he jumps in and he starts chugging. But he always does a move where he takes a huge mouthful of water intentionally and then does a when he's coming back, which is not sure why. But anyway, all right. You can go to animcrawl.com if you want to see stupid Phil in the pool.
Thank you.
But I love the chows. Good thing. All right.
Well, FCC has just made a major move to stop robocalls to your cell phones. The commission has fined Miami-based marketing strategy leaders $120 million for making 96 million spoof robocalls, most to dupe people into buying vacation packages. 90% of those went to cell phones. The firm used something called neighborhood spoofing technology, which is causes your caller ID to display your area code, so you're more likely to pick it up.
Yes, I've noticed this.
Yes,
they call it spoofing, huh?
Yeah, well, neighborhood spoofing.
Christy and I get calls all the time, daily, that there are the same exact same area code and first three numbers as our phone.
Yeah.
And
so
hopefully we're
like, that happened to me like yesterday, actually.
Tapering off, yes. So and an automated
and the first
voice,
three numbers suggest it's in the
it's close by.
Yes, if hers are if she's 310-321 something
right.
Something will show
555.
Up. Yeah, exactly. With the same
it makes you think
first.
It's someone you know.
Exactly.
Sort of, like, you're like,
exactly.
I know that number.
Right. And here's what happened: an automated voice will then direct you to press 1, which would take you to a live operator using pressure sales tactics to get you to book a vacation. The head of the group is also facing criminal charges for this.
Is there a worse gig than sales? I mean, that kind of sales. Like, is there something I would be worse at than on the phone trying to get people to do stuff they didn't want to do? It's
slightly.
So,
I'm sorry. Not to yes and you. Yes, there is something a little worse than that. I went on a job interview. They were lying about what the job was, but it became apparent that this job was harassing people in the parking lot at like a supermarket. Doing the same kind of thing.
So doing it, but in person.
It's just so.
Hey, is your phone number 310?
I hate that. Oh God.
Yeah.
It's just. Oh, I got dragged to an Amway meeting once, and it was like, oh no. Yeah, Amway. I got dragged to an Herbalife meeting.
Oh,
how much did you buy?
I left with like a $43 chub pack of multivites, which I never took, and it's like it totally preys on poor, desperate people because you're like. I got to get something going. I got no money. I got to get something. And the Amway guy never told me it was Amway. I just went, I need like $200 a week that I can count on. Like I was a carpenter and I was like, it's so nomadic. Like it rains. You don't go to work that day or the job finishes and you don't know what your next job is. I need like a base of like, I got just the right. Next thing you know, we're at the Howard Johnson's over in like Toluca Lake sitting
paper
there.
And toothpaste everywhere.
Oh God.
I get a lot of calls from this thing called like the California or National Troopers Association. You ever got one of these?
No.
And it kind of – it creeps you out a little bit because you're like, if I don't give to the police, is it going to come back to haunt me somehow?
Right.
And I looked it up and apparently it's just pretty much a scam operation. Like 95% of the money doesn't go to any troopers. So don't give to that.
I got a call from – and you were there on for that. I put it on speaker because it was so unusual. It seemed like she – reached her limit of cold calling people because she immediately exploded. I mean, she knew my name somehow and I said, first thing I said was, what is this regarding? And she's like, well, actually the normal thing that you would say when you get a call is hello. And I was going to get to that. And like, she had this horrible, like.
So like a human being.
Exactly. Yeah. Like
she was like chastising him.
You could say hello like a human being. I feel like she's gotten a lot of shit, you know,
wow.
These last
few years.
I could listen
calls.
To a reel of those guys snapping because yeah. yep. yep. there's got to be a lot of that. And also a reel of personal assistance to aging celebrities who are ODing. How old is she? Oh, how old does she look?
How old
she
is
looks
blood?
Like
what
she's
does it
34.
Say on her IMDb page?
She can play 45.
Yeah. What drugs did she take? Well, who's, who am I talking to? Like they don't want to divulge. I'd listen to both those.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more.
So hopefully there'll be less. Well, Broadway star Lin-Manuel Miranda, of course, of Hamilton fame, and Weird Al Yankovic are both being honored with stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And in an unlikely coincidence, they learned of the news at the same time because they were having lunch together. The rest of the 20...
Really?
Yes, they're BFFs, apparently.
I need something to come out of this. I need something great to come
I'm
out of
sure
this.
I'm sure there will be, because why else?
There better be a Lego movie or something
yes.
on the horizon.
The rest of the 2018 class of recipients includes Jennifer Lawrence, Mark Hamill, Ryan Murphy, Taraji P. Henson, and Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
What's Taraji P. Henson been doing?
Empire. And,
yeah, but,
and the
but this can't
Oscar
be just...
nominated.
She from.
Was she in Dream Girl?
No. The
Space
Hustle
and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
And.
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures. Thank you.
All right. But that stuff, so I'm saying, is that's too recent for
Quietly,
this.
Quietly, Dream need, Girls was more racist than all of that put together.
You need
great movie, though.
I guessed.
Is, she's going to be in the next Ring commercial, too,
oh,
by
wow.
the way.
She'd be camping.
She's going to be ice fishing.
Yeah.
She's
gotcha.
Gonna be, she's going to be curling.
Curling.
Sweeping on ice.
Oh man! So yeah, my daughter is pumped about Hamilton.
Those tickets are expensive.
Yeah, well, she's going. And
does she need a plus one?
Oh, there's like six of them going,
ugh.
And she was miffed off yesterday because my son decided he wanted in, but she's decided he hasn't earned it. Like. He's made fun of Hamilton. He's made fun of her. He doesn't even know the story.
I like that.
He can only go if he names all three Skylar
sisters.
Yeah,
you're not a fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, she's like, he didn't know Aaron Burr's vice president or whatever he was. Like, she's pissed. She's like, he's just showing up. It's the feeling I have when I see, like, TMZ and there's Paris Hilton and she's driving a Ferrari 360 Stradale with her dog on her lap and I'm like, I've been busting my ass my entire life, bitch, to get to that car and now you're just driving around with your dog on your lap and you're wearing heels. Like, you've ruined that car for me. Now people could go, well, you go get your Stradale and let her drive her.
No.
Doesn't work that way.
Ruined.
And Natalia's been trying to get to Hamilton for two or three years now, and she's going to get there, and Sonny's just going to decide that afternoon that he's tagging along, and it's ruined.
Sonny, come lately.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's ruined the experience. It's going to ruin the experience for her, but she is into it. All the girls are into it. All the little 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 9-year-olds, they're into it, and they all understand that piece of history now.
Yeah.
Simply because of it. Like,
absolutely.
I understood what happened to the Beverly Hillbillies, because he laid it out so incredibly.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the stuff we know from
the history we know.
The history. I know that he was shooting at some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude. It was oil, and they made his money, and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. So I know that story, and I could share that with my descendants,
thing.
my kids, and they can pass on. And then she knows the whole story about Hamilton.
Although, Adam, just to keep you honest, you did not, in fact, know that the Beverly Hillbillies was a sort of a portmanteau of two different phrases.
I didn't. I was stupid for a long time. I like that, but I like that series too. Paris Hilton is getting out of a Lexus LFA. A Lexus LFA is one of the most technically advanced supercars on the planet. I think it retails for about $380,000, and they lose money on every unit. That's how insanely has like an F1 inspired V10 that revs to like 10,000 RPM, but it's naturally aspirated. It's not turbocharged. It's the craziest car ever. And her and her dog are just scooting up, going from the Ivy over to Nobu in it. And it's ruined. It's ruined. It's all ruined.
It's a lot of eating. She
ruined that little dog for me.
Just to be seen. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Ah, life lock, man. A study found identity thieves use personal data in an average of 9 minutes from the time they get it, and someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Your identity can be stolen in ways you may not detect. If you're only monitoring your credit, so LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert, and if there's a problem, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. They do not farm this stuff out. They do it here. It's not offshore. It's right here in the U.S. of A. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. I have it. The kids have it. The wife has it. Let's be safe about this, people. Let's not get our identity stolen. It is so hard to unring that bell. Let's use the best. Let's use LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com now and save 10%.
All right. Let's see. Live shows coming up by Oxnard in Vegas. They're going to sell out, so I would just go to AdamCroll.com for that. We got a cruise coming up, and that'll sell out, too. Go to AdamCroll.com for that. We got the podcast masterclass. That's at the Irvine Improv. That is August 5th, and you can check that out as well at AdamCroll.com. My movie, The 24-Hour War. People enjoy that. That's a chassis. It's Amazon Prime. You can look at all that stuff, the Newman Doc and all, whatever you like over there. Their movie, Jonathan and John's movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, in theaters everywhere. God, that was going to have 3,500, 4,000 theaters, right?
Ooh, yeah, a few.
It'll be big. In theaters everywhere next Friday. That is July 7th. And this one looks good. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you coming out, man. Appreciate so, till next time, Adam Carolla for Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, Gina Grad, Ball Bryant saying mahalo.
Being a prosecutor means never having to say you're sorry. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. And leave us a voicemail. Phone number is 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And subscribe to Take an E. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com for tickets and info on everything in the Carolla Cruise this November. Visit AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.